October 4th, 1983. Jan Law, interviewed by Kay Briegel at his office in Long Beach, California.
So you had breakfast there?
Yeah, I had a number of times. And I think Ruth, in 1935, was about 14 years old, skinny as a pencil, and shy. And I don't think she ever really waited on people. Maybe she did. But I saw her a number of times, said that was a daughter. Years later, when she came on TV, well, I said, that's Sis's daughter.
Okay. Because other people I've talked to had their lives there. And she allowed people who didn't have too much work to do to stay over and play Gin Rummy.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It was a Gin Rummy capsule. Men sat there day after day, hour after hour, playing Gin Rummy. Oh, my goodness. It was maybe more of a Gin Rummy than it was a restaurant, but I didn't go for lunch, and I went for breakfast. And I wasn't a Gin Rummy player. But did you ever see a picture of the mother?
No.
You know, dependable, salt of the earth, good stock, hardworking, conscientious, pleasant enough. The father was always very obscure, whether or not I think he was an oil worker, but I don't know just what he did. But he was not, he didn't enter into Sis's restaurant. I'm now about to give a catalog, a listing, in chronological order of my papers. The first of which is a statistical approach to the interstitial heterogeneity of sand reservoirs. Sand reservoirs, yes, plural, presented in Los Angeles in 1943. It made the bound volume of 43-44. It really received lots of entries in the bibliographies of what we'd call high class or substantial bibliographies, more than maybe it deserved. In other words, it wasn't so brilliant on my part. I found that I could mine, excavate the findings and the life sciences and then statistical textbooks in general and apply them, I guess, for the first time to porosity and permeability of oil reservoirs, and in so doing, I made a lot more bibliographical records than I deserved. Time passes on. We're now 1950. I have in front of me interrelations between earth movements, Long Beach Harbor area. This was, I've got to backtrack. Between the paper for AIME and this interrelation, I worked for Stanford Research Institute from 1948 through 49, year and a half, and the two books, one in a report binder of TAN, a big thick manuscript, and its companion piece is the bound volume of Stanford Research Institute. I wrote in there the contributions on well damage, electric log study, and a material balance. It was during this period that the basis of the collar count being a solution, was laid, the foundation, in that we of Stanford Research were convinced that the grip of the earth was sufficient, that the casing was shortened exactly opposite the zones that were consolidating, and that the strength of the casing was such that the casing above the zone of consolidation, the overburden of the original length, and the casing, length of the casing, was the same length as when it was run in the hole down below the soft, unstable layers. That was the conviction I carried. And while being retained by the Board of Harbor Commissioners, of which M. Dudley Hughes was my immediate superior as head of the oil division of the Department of Oil Properties, we got Lane Wells to bring out a collar count device, which we proceeded to lower into maybe 26 wells and come back 6 months later for a repeat run of maybe half of them. The result of the year and a half, 2 years, of collar counting is contained in now the interrelations between earth movements, Long Beach Harbor area, June 1st, 1950. I remember I like my summary in which the contents of this report I'm reading, the contents of this report of the following major, consists of the following major subdivisions. One, the need for investigation, possible aid in the problems of shared oil wells. Two, review of activities prior to June 1949. Casing collar locator device being a tedious description of the instrumentation, calibration, and operating technique of the tool which located the compacting strata. People of consulting said once they came across that, a tedious description of the instrumentation calibration, they said, I know Jan Law wrote that. Analysis of collar survey results, the proof that compaction is limited to certain oil sands. Application of the collar surveys, reporting of methods employed in an effort to prevent liner failures. Six, resume of major elements of subsidence phenomena. Seven, joint effort with Dr. McCann and the Long Beach Harbor Department. From a strictly utilitarian approach, the elements of the procedure whereby future destructive tendencies of subsiding are made subject to prediction, shear damage. The report certainly showed little humility or little... What am I saying, as opposed to, what's on the anonym of humility is modesty. It is not a modest report. It is an immodest report. But it was very potential. It is the thing that, as far as I know, and is the evidence that was taken as definitive, conclusive, as to the fact that the Tar Ranger and Upper Terminal were the unstable zones and caused the trouble, and there's never been a factual, any facts that dispute this. No evidence that came forward with facts, with a other kind of measurement, anything. Theory says you could have had something different, but no other facts have ever been produced other than what is shown there. I'm moving on now in time, and chronologically speaking, here is a report. I did not write it, but I think it's the most important report, short of the findings of Jan Law, report on the tests on oil well cores, the Long Beach Harbor Department, Converse Foundation Engineering. Converse was the head of the Soil Mechanics Department at Caltech, a very sound person. There have never been the soil mechanics people, do not sink below, say, 150 feet. The foundations affected by a big building or a dam, maybe 200 feet. Therefore, their whole technique of consolidating a clay to time it for the rate of consolidation, the amount of consolidation, and the other time volume aspects were all done not below 150 feet, in which you might say 200 pounds per square inch pressure would be adequate. Well, here we were working at depths of 4, 5, 6,000 feet, and he needed to, and the first time in the world, he set up a testing procedure to test cores of sand and clay, and not clay, shale, and test them at the in situ, where the overburden was approximately a pound per square inch per foot. So at 5,000 feet, it took 5,000 pounds per square inch to deform these. Now, the city of Long Beach has the unenviable position that they're sitting there waiting for commercial injection to stop, at which time these many competent observers think that a slow rate of subsidence is going to start and continue for in perpetuity based upon good information or poor information. This, of converse, I believe, is the information, if it was studied, would allow a person to make a reasonable judgment. Is the city of Long Beach in jeopardy on the termination of commercial injection because the so-called allocated $40 million allocated in the law that set up the city of Long Beach as the governing, controlling, engineering management firm, management of the Wilmington oil field, said that at termination of commercial injection, $40 million would be available. Whether or not it's adequate, that is the report, I think, which would be the thing to study to try to answer that question.
I assume you've read Congress. What's your opinion?
I haven't read it enough to acquire a conviction. I'm not a soil mechanic, and therefore I'm hesitant to pontificate on soil mechanics. It's a discipline in itself, a tough discipline. I've read quite a bit on soil mechanics, but I am hesitant to make a statement, a serious statement, based upon soil mechanics, because it is truly a discipline in its own, and I think I would just be sounding off, as it said. I think that there's certainly implication in here that you would have a slow rate of subsidence on the not only on the termination of commercial injection, but with just less intense injection, which the city would like have to have. I don't really answer your question, and I refuse to answer your question. This is a unique report. I'm coming along in time. I'm now up to 1959, in that Converse was 57, and we'd already left the collar in 50, gone to 57, we're now 59. The question was commercial injection started prior to 59, maybe 53, 54. And it was a burning question to certain people who had a vigorous mind. Was injection doing anything, or was subsidence stopping just on its own? You want to come around here? This, those dots, are elevation, in which, in the Navy usage, 115 feet above a datum. Mm-hmm. And this is, in here, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, and so on. 70, that's 40 years. And this is a elevation as it changed in an outer area. Mm-hmm. And notice the delicate line it is. And every one of them, I'm now approaching the center of the bowl. It's the same curve, but with more vertical subsidence. Those dots are raw material. And this curve is a unique fitted curve. I'm now getting closer to the center of bowl of subsidence. And again, now we've come to a point where the elevation dropped from 114 feet to 95 feet. So we have 19 feet close to the bowl of subsidence. Again, the same generic curve. It's a statistical curve of growth. It is the integrated form of that which is in near and dear to educators, the bell-shaped curve. This is the integrated form of the bell-shaped curve. That's what you were looking at, and which here, 1952, was the peak rate of production. Now, people look at that and say, well, there was only 2 feet. There was only 2 feet, maybe 2.5 total. If you believe that these curves are intimately tied to cause and effect, they're really only time and distance, no cause and effect. Therefore, the only reason why you would believe that there was only 2 feet of subsidence, and therefore the city and injection was an operation in futility or self I don't mean to dilute like you dilute with water, I mean delusion.
Yes.
And this would be that there was very little subsidence. These things take place all over the bowl, and people say, well, this is such a gigantic thing. True, there is no cause and effect. Strictly empirical. Elevation. Time. But people would say that I believe the cause of the mass of this thing because of the mathematical, this is a mathematical curve, that was all, and that injection never stopped subsidence, that it was really not significant. It didn't do anything. There was only 2 feet to go, and whatever it did, it didn't. It was ineffective. Now, we'll go over to Converse now. And Converse, I say, would say that, well, probably the mechanism is different. And this thing could take on due to a change of regime, a change, and then it could go on. But to me, this is pretty close to the center of the bowl. To me, this thing is positively an aesthetic experience, a mathematical thing that found that all over the bowl you have this beautiful, rigorous to a set of delicate curves. I'm moving various places of the bowl, and those are raw data. They're not fitted on there. This is being one of the traverses. And here is attempting to see how close did they fall. I blew up the scale, so this is off. This is being this is a foot in here, and this is a half a foot, so that is 2 or 3 inches, that it wobbled around a bit. Here is the rate, and the rate was particularly bouncy because of uncertainty. Well, if you attempt to run a line of levels, elevations, across the subsiding area, you go out in the morning and get to a point and come back, close in the afternoon. Then the next day, you go out to that point and make a traverse, come back and close. Well, this thing is subsiding, your point is subsiding, and what you're looking at is the inability of surveyors to survey elevation in a subsiding area. Here is where they changed the basis of or the point of origin, and this is much fairer of what was actually going on than that had error. This paper, as far as I can see, pleased nobody. It would say, if you believe it, that the city was acting in futility, kidding themselves, and that to admit that this was a true expression of ultimate subsidence would be to say, well, don't worry about subsidence. Let subsidence take its course and have it. It's only got 2 feet to go at the most. And then, from then on, you will not have this sword of Damocles. And Darrell Neighbors, I told this to the Chamber of Commerce, a great big one. I said, if you stop it now, you're going to have a sword of Damocles that's going to be hanging over you. And Darrell Neighbors said, now, well, we're starting to acquire that sword of Damocles you talked about. It's been sitting there, but now it's with us. Because if you'd let it go at the time, and it only, this is this point of view, if it only had this far to go, you would not be in a stew. And as far as, since you were already some 28 feet, and you want to go 30, and you got to fill 28 feet, might as well fill 28 is 30, or fill 30 is 28, and over here, if you had to fill 8, and they had a foot on the 10, and you'd fill 9 feet in place of 8 feet, that, now, I'm like the professorial, on the one hand this, on the other hand that, in that I don't say, now there, is injection. The first intimations. This was difficult to get the Navy. This is the mathematics, or mathematics, that produced a set of curves like that, which this is the thing that made my curves, and these are all preserved by, or made by, Norman Sampson, who is a consultant and an oil man. He's got quite a bit of money now. He was poor as a church mouse then, worked for me at a pittance, and put together the mathematics. This whole book is devoted to making this, and these are the materials. Norman Sampson, you'll find him in the telephone book. This report, I do not pound the table and say that this is the gospel. This is what it's going to be. I say that this is one serious aspect, and the converse is another serious aspect, and I'm not much of a soil mechanic. And for instance, I showed this paper to Richter. Richter was much interested in the type of earthquake, even the type of earthquakes that occur in Wilmington that produced shear of 300 oil wells. And earthquakes are measured in dollars in the annals of earthquake. And this is one of the large earthquakes in recorded United States history. And it was oh so gentle, a shear at 1,500 feet that cut off 300 arms. It was so gentle that it was recorded at Caltech only as a kind of like an earth slide or something slipping at Portuguese Bend. And yet that little slide, because it destroyed 300 oil wells, and I guess in those days they cost about $300,000 or $400,000 a piece. I don't mean that. I mean, yes, 300,000. Now 200,000 or 300,000, and 300 is, you get a lot of millions there. And I took this report, and Richter, of Richter scale, said, "Why, Mr. Law," he said, "this report might be of interest to maybe the pub annals of the American Society of Civil Engineers, of which we in the fraternity consider the civil engineer as the absolute low on the totem pole. They're the least intellectual. They're strictly just utilitarian. They go out and survey and build dams and bridges and no big..." Oh, selectively, civil engineers take civil engineering because they don't want to be challenged by the more difficult aspects of other disciplines. So he just absolutely said that a thing without cause and effect was trash. So it didn't please the professorial, and it didn't please the city of Long Beach. There we are now in 1959, I believe, 57-59. I shouldn't have gotten back there, but it did. 59. I'm a little bit out of chronological order. Here is notes on the mechanics of compaction. And it was dated nicely by the American Geophysical Union as being received, but they asked, it wasn't truly reviewed or published, and they sent it back for possible revisions. I've forgotten all that they did, and I never completed it as the mechanics of compaction. Well, it is much of the material on this speech is part of this, in which I take step by step and show the development of Signal Hill in Wilmington, beginning at its most primitive, the earliest stage, and then time passes on, and this is the second step in the development, the faulting, and here Palos Verdes, it's my section, there's Signal Hill, and it to me is a gem in that it reviews those elements that make Wilmington susceptible and make Signal Hill not susceptible to, well, here's the final one, to with oil. We finally have oil in it now. And it is really a written form of the speech that exists on the cards. To carry on, this obviously I did not write in 1964, and off that I was retained by Chevron as one of their stable of consultants in preparation to be expert witness in a lawsuit in which the city of Los Angeles sued Chevron and other oil companies on the Englewood oil field because of the failure of the Baldwin Hills reservoir. And the contention was by the city that there was subsidence at the Englewood field that caused distortion, which led to the ultimate failure of the Baldwin Hills reservoir. I worked on it for about 6 or 8 months, and I enjoyed